The Spirit Fire, by Brandy Marks. Prelude, Curse of the Fairies. There lived a fairy prince who hated the firebringers, as he called those who flew over the land in the moonlight with fire and smoke pouring from their mouths. Kata and Isadora left their homeland. On their way, Kata and Isadora helped a young girl to birth her infant, not knowing it was one of the Fae. Upon meeting the father, they leave the child and find their way north. Drake, the name by which they knew him, knows Isadora is a hated fire dragon, yet still desiring her, he tries to seduce her. She turns into a fire dragon and flies away. Using magic, Drake lures the girls to a fairy cove and secures them in a cave, but he is unable to do with Isadora as he would like. As a voice thunders, this is forbidden, he is flung away from her. So, Drake uses magic to enchant Kata and have his way with her that night. Then, he waits to see the magic work, and her belly swells with new life. She will birth creatures of beauty to do my bidding, and I'll be none the wiser. Two infants are brought forth. I've been doubly blessed, not cursed. He looks around, fearful retribution will fall. Again there is only silence. The girls awaken the next morning, still captured by the spell. It is many years before they awaken from the spell itself. Slowly, they piece together what the Fae might have done with his magic, unaware of what else now awaits them. 20 years later, Isadora searches for the daughters, but must find her way to the Fae Kingdom, where she still refuses to give in to the Fae Prince, so he imprisons Isadora in a crystal cave, where she imagines the daughters were taken. She notes, it is a place of comfort and not a prison, except for the dragon who hovers on a ledge above the entrance. Pale and emaciated, she sorrows for the beast. Its name, Elena. She had been captive a very long time, or so they said. Gigantic, the dragon was tethered on a shelf high above, in front of them. One of its wings hung down to bar access, the scales pale and dull from its incarceration. Great leathery wings, folded close to its body, would have filled the chamber if spread, and its roar made the walls tremble. It is here, Isadora learns the prince is truly vile. You seem pleased with what your prince has done. Seeing his wicked look, she says, which one and what was done? The one who looks like you, sweetie. Seems he has a thing for you but settled on one of the girls, he chortles, sees the disgust on Isadora's face. He took her aside, on his couch there, he nods in its direction and Isadora notes a couch covered in red velvet. Slowly he removed her clothes, soft-talked, petted and fondled her, so she was eager for more. After a time, he patted her rump and says, at your next cycle, I will come and properly make you a woman. Can you imagine? Oh, she was eager for it to come about and has been in his bed ever since. An unkind smile spread over his face and he chuckles, chest rising and falling rapidly as he recounts the story. Isadora could tell he enjoyed the exchange more than he would admit, if challenged. She remained silent for a time. Once a year, he impregnates her. At least that's what I heard it called. His hand moves to indicate a belly swollen with pregnancy. You see him fornicate with young girls, have them produce children, yet you want me to believe these girls are someone else's. Isadora shakes her head and glances at the dragon chained, notices her. Silvery eyes are open and she's not only watching, she's listening. Blinking in surprise, for Isadora thought dragons did not comprehend human conversation. How to set the dragon free? This preys on Isadora's mind as she waits for Kata, if she ever shows up, and prays to Adonai for its release. Hell, I come against you and your hosts, I reject, break all covenants, agreements, and vows made with you by those who steal the freedom of this creature. Lord Adonai, if it be your will for Elena too, fly free, then, let your will be done. It's like waiting for water to boil or paint to dry when one waits on the Lord. She turns her eyes from the dragon and considers all she's learned and wonders, where has Kata gone? What can I do to free the children until I find her? As the sun lowers in the sky, the crystals in the dome sparkle with a myriad of colors of light, and Isadora finds she is mesmerized by the rainbow upon the crystal walls. It's like the entire place has become a wall of fire. Then, an image reflects in the dark, still sparkling wall. She cannot believe her eyes and turns to see a visage of great beauty. The dragon stands far above her. Its iridescent silver scales gleam in the last light of the sun, a myriad of colors, stars, sheer beauty. Its silver eyes glow as with the light of heaven. Turning its horned head toward her, the dragon murmurs, my name is not Elena. I am Myru, mate to Darius and Asarev. Then rising to the crystal dome, wings spread, the glass shatters and crumbles as the silver iridescent scale dragon pushes its way to freedom and launches into the darkening sky. In a flash, she is gone. Stunned to know the dragon was Darius' mate, he said Mayuru had disappeared, but she never dreamed this poor creature was the same. Isadora recalled seeing her from a distance and her mate when she and Kata first arrived home from Naiad 2. Looking into the night sky, Isadora smiles. Now I know why you set her free, Lord. A good work it was, indeed. Darius will be pleased. Now to find my sister, if you please.